Francis.
Oh, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team sucked.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday.
Happy final day of the spring rating book.
Oh, there you go.
That's the way. So you got to bring it, Maz. Got to dig deep one more time.
Oh, yeah. No. I play the full 60, baby.
It's time to
I play the full gamut, bitches.
Time to empty the bucket. All right, Maz. Let's start with the Red Sox. How do you feel about that?
I'm in.
How do you feel about your baseball team?
Look, overall, again, fine. But last night was a debacle in the late innings of that game. An absolute freaking debacle. And to me, there are a number of angles to the game, but let's start with the bullpen. Okay, let's start with the bullpen and Cora, because they sort of go hand in hand. You just brought Robbie Scott up from the minor leagues. You just brought him here. The guy you sent out was Justin Haley, who's the 25th man on your roster. So my point is, Robbie Scott can't be that important or that good, or he would have been here sooner.
So, folks, if you missed the game, tie ball game in the eighth. You tied it in the eighth on a two-out single by, I think, Sandy Leon.
It was Leon, yes.
And so you're now 2-2 in the eighth inning. And, just to refresh, you had your entire bullpen available. The entire bullpen was available.
Correct. They were off on Monday.
And they start the eighth inning with Robbie Scott, who had just gotten called up from Pawtucket.
Correct.
And he starts off the inning, I think, is it walk hit batsman?
He walked Ryan Lamari. I don't know how you pronounce it, but the number nine hitter. He walked him, and then he hit Joe Mauer.
Walked the nine hitter, hit the next guy, and that started an inning. Joe Kelly came in, and it went from bad to worse, and they ended up losing the ball game. So the second guess there is Robbie Scott in that situation when you have your entire bullpen available.
Right. So the thing is I look at that scenario, and it's hard to not just draw the line on that one to Cora. You know, you have your whole bullpen available. They tell us how much they love Joe Kelly in the late innings and that he's a true eighth inning guy. They've told us ad nauseum how good Joe Kelly has been against left-handed batters this year. And again, the numbers for Kelly have been good all the way around. But against lefties for the season, 109 average and an OPS of 354. He's given up five hits to left-handed batters all year. And going into last night, it was less because he gave up a triple into the right field corner last night.
109. So he, against lefties hit 109 off of him. And again, if you just said this, I was flipping through my notes. The first three guys, the nine hitter and then the top of the order, but it was a righty, then a left and a left.
Right. So the whole reason Scott's in the game is because you get two lefties coming up.
Yep.
Right. So you have two lefties there. Okay. Let me bring in the lefty specialist. But Joe Kelly has dominated lefties all year long. So they bring in Scott, who they just brought in. Again, if he's that good, why wasn't he here earlier? You're in a 2-2 game that you just tied, and both Scott and Kelly were up in the top of the eighth. So Cora could have picked either one. He brought Robbie Scott into the game, who then started the fire, and then Kelly came in and poured gasoline on it. The game gets blown open. They lose the game 6-2. And to me, that is one where I look at the manager and say, what the heck were you thinking?
Well, I mean, what was he thinking? Do we have the postgame, Jimmy, of Alex Cora explaining Robbie Scott there? So what was he thinking? And again, the entire bullpen was available, and according to Pete Abe, with the exception of Matt Barnes, all the primary relievers had at least 4 days rest. So everyone was perfectly rested, and he goes with Robbie Scott, who just got up here from Pawtucket. Why, Alex?
I was ready for Scott to start that inning.
Because we had, that was the perfect situation for him. Ninth hitter, then Joe, then Eddie. That's what he's here for, to get lefties out. And we felt that their ninth hitter, he wasn't going to do damage against him. And whatever, he got Eddie out, but at that point, I made up my mind that, if they're going to score, it has to be against Joe in that spot.
I mean, to me, mistake. It should have been Joe from the beginning. You go with your best guy, you get a 2-2 game. What are you doing? And it even got worse, and I'll explain here in a minute. So as you said, they went right, left, left. Then the guy coming up is Escobar, who's a switch hitter. Escobar is better. I'm going to get this backwards now, so forgive me. Escobar is better from the left side. So you once you get to Escobar, you'd have been better off leaving Scott in the game. He just got Rosario out, right, left on left. And the right thing to do there is make Escobar bat on the right side. That's the right thing to do. He brings Kelly in. Escobar switches to the left side. It's a double into the gap. So now you put the hitter on a stronger side.
Double that turned into, was that the Jackie Bradley play?
Yes, correct. There was two more runs and the ball went under Bradley's glove. That's okay. Exactly right.
Jackie Bradley.
Yeah, oh, that's another one. So Bradley made a big out in the seventh. Bradley made a big out in the eighth. And then the ball went under his glove in center field and he made an error on a play in that inning. Now, look, the defense for him overall is good. We know that. Nonetheless, bad misplay. And I was waiting for it today. Because the inning ended, if you remember, they went up 6-2, the Twins. The inning ended with a double play and a deep fly to center where Bradley threw an absolute freaking laser to the plate on the fly and they get a double play. Right? The runner tried to tag from third to score the seventh run. And I didn't think he had a chance of getting the guy out based on where he caught the ball. Remy said something to the same effect in the broadcast. It was a laser. I mean, he threw a rocket and got the guy out. I was waiting for people to say, yeah, Maz, how do you like Bradley now? And my answer is that is, what, for turning a double play when the game's already 6-2 after he let a ball go under his glove and made two big outs? Jackie Bradley was a negative in that game. And I know people are going to focus on that stupid-ass sacrifice fly or the double play that should have been a sacrifice fly.
Oh, I don't know at this point, Maz. I think people are finally coming around, even though the most ardent Jackie Bradley Jr. defenders have come around and said this guy is just a black hole in the lineup.
He really is. He really is.
I mean, it's at the point where, really, Brock Holt should be an everyday player. I can't believe I'm saying that, but that's what it's come to with this guy. Brock Holt should be in every game over Jackie Bradley Jr.
I mean, that would be the move. You put Holt in left field, you move Benintendi over, you still DH JD Martinez, or maybe you play Martinez out there a little more often when you DH Nunez. You do whatever you want. But the bottom line is, Bradley should be a part-time player, and it would be an easier switch to make if you had Hanley, and you could put JD in left field, but they don't have Hanley anymore.
No one does.
So, look, that's fair. I'm just telling you, last night, to me, like, highlighted all their weaknesses. Cora making a bad decision at a critical time. The eighth inning, which still feels like a parade of clowns in the eighth inning.
What does Murray call it?
The wheel. It's when Alex Cora spins the wheel of gutless bums. There's a wheel literally right there, and he spins it, and whatever it lands on, that's who he decides to use in the eighth inning.
And there's a new bum added to the...
new name.
Yeah, so Scott, you add Scott to the wheel of gutless bums.
Yes, no, there's another little space on the wheel now, dedicated to Robbie Scott. But again, the bottom of the order, the bullpen, the manager, it was all on display last night.
Okay, they also can't score for Chris Sale? So is Chris Sale a tough luck loser here?
So again, this is one that, and Murray, again, you'll vouch for me. Last night on the Baseball Reporters at the end of the program, I said he's going against his kid, Jose Berríos, for the Twins, who's pretty good. I like Berríos. He got good stuff. He's a little loose. But overall, there's stuff there, athleticism there. The kid, to me, he's got the chance to be pretty good. Okay? So I said last night, before we went off the air, if you call tomorrow and complain about the fact that Chris Sale got bad, didn't get run support again, don't. Don't call. He is paid.
So can I overrule you?
Why?
617-779-0985. You're allowed to call on this.
Yes, you should call. But what I should have said is that's fair. You're always allowed to call. But you should be prepared that I am going to give you major resistance. Okay? Chris Sale is paid to win the games against the other good pitchers. That's what he is paid to do. He is paid to win 2-1 when they get him, or he's paid to win 1-0 when they get him a run, and he goes out the next half inning and does exactly what Robbie Scott did. Walk, or actually it was a ground ball to the left side, and then hit batter. So he had a 1-0 lead against a lineup that is inept, and he gave up 2 runs in the very next half inning. I don't want to hear, I do, but you'll get resistance.
Exactly.
From those of you who think that Chris Sale somehow got screwed last night by bad run support. He screwed himself.
How about tonight's starter, David Price, Mr. Happy?
Murray, you want to take over here?
Who's back at it
Oh, he's just the gift that keeps on giving. I meant to remind myself to actually send him a tweet, which I'm sure he won't see, just to say thanks for the content. Because just when you feel like there's nothing to talk about, out comes Dainty David again.
Oh, well, I guess I don't want to play in the All-Star game because I'll be playing Fortnite instead.
God.
Big start for him tonight, Maz?
So I think it is. I mean, I think you have a situation here. And look, it's you know, June 20th, and they have a record that's putting them on pace for 105-plus wins. So I don't want to tell you it's a must-win because that would be stupid. It's not. But you lost a tough game the night before. Your bullpen imploded. You know, it's a bad team, relatively. Minnesota might qualify as middle class in the current American League. But it's a bad team. You've been pitching well. They could use you tonight. They could use you to step up, give him seven strong, win the game, you know, 6-2 the other way.
But the way that he's been pitching, I think he will. Like, I feel like this is the guy, him and Eduardo Rodriguez, you can count on the most in this rotation right now.
Okay, so let's see. Like, I tend to lean like you lean, except that every time I start to believe in Price, Murray, you know what happens? It goes the other way. All of a sudden, he starts sucking again. So, now, to me, it looks like a spot where he could really step up after a tough loss, late-inning loss. He could really step up, give him a nice little kick in the ass, nice little shot in the arm.
Get on my back.
Do his job, all of the above. It's a perfect spot for him to continue this role. Perfect. So don't let it go the other way.
All right, folks, we got 4 hours to go. We'll get to a lot of other things as well throughout the course of the day. The latest on Kyrie Irving, the latest on Kawhi Leonard, the very latest NBA rumor mongering is out there. We have developing opinions on the Brady story as we do every day, but we're starting Red Sox and going to spend a fair amount of time on it today. So if you want to get in on baseball, do it now at 617-779-0985, and we'll talk to you next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes. Heath Henry. Joe Kelly. And those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
Kelly, Thornburg, right, Thornburg, Kelly, Barnes.
And today's gutless bum is...
Robbie Scott, are you f***ing kidding me?
2-2 pitch. Line shot into left center field and is down for a hit. Lamar coming and that one gets through to go all the way to the fence. That's going to score a couple of runs. And this one getting away here in the eighth inning. 1-1. Socked into right center field. Jackie Bradley, long run, won't get it, gets by him. Escobar is in. Here comes Dozier on in third. He's trying to score. He will as the throw trickles in. And Minnesota is starting to run away from the Boston Red Sox here tonight.
Robbie Scott, come on down. And even Remy there. Remy at one point mentioned. You know, the second guess there is, why does he start the inning?
Exactly.
You got everybody rested out there.
Oh, exactly right. Again, all they've done is shove Joe Kelly down our throats about how much confidence they have in him against lefties and righties. You get lefties coming up and you put in Robbie freaking Scott. Robbie Scott in a 2-2 game. You got what you deserved.
Well, his explanation, Cora's explanation after the game, to me, is what makes it so aggravating, because the way it sounds to me is, all right, kid just got brought up. It's a low-stake situation. End of the order. He's not going to get in much trouble here. I'll do him a solid and put him in now. Which was the dumbest thing possible. Robbie Scott. 2-2 game in the eighth inning.
Oh, you know, because again...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because
it's
again,
inexcusable.
No, right. You know, because right, left, left. You're married to the matchups. You don't look at the fact that you get your bet, you know, what you would deem to be your best setup man out there, and you don't go to him? Oh, what a mistake.
So that decision, I got some stuff on Jackie Bradley I want to get off my chest as well. David Price, once again, being a PUD for no apparent reason, which we will get to as well. And he's on the Hill tonight. Mass does not want to hear about Chris Sale not getting run support. He doesn't want to hear it. Kevin on Cape Cod, what do you got? Lead us off today.
Hi, this is Kevin from the Cape.
Hi, Kevin from the Cape.
How you doing? Tony, how are you?
Good, you?
Look, I want to just take a make a comment about what you said about the Red Sox not getting any runs for Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys watch the game last night from the umpire perspective?
Yeah.
Did you see the 3-2 pitch?
Which one?
Excuse me, the 2-2 pitch that he made to that batter that got the hit?
Which bat? Are you talking about the double into the left field corner?
I'm talking about the first hit they got in the game.
I don't remember the first hit of the game. I might have checked out.
So
at
what's
that
your point,
point,
Kevin?
My point is the pitch was clearly in the strike zone. And that it was a 3-2 pitch. It was a 2-2 pitch for ball three. And in the next bat, in the next pitch, the guy singled to right.
So you think Sale got squeezed again? So he got squeezed.
He was so upset with the same call. Do you remember he got thrown out of the game before because of the same type of call?
Of course.
All right. Well, this was not on the line, Mike, Tony. This was clearly inside the line, inside call from a left-handed pitcher. So we know it crossed over the plate.
Okay, Maz. It feels like a stretch that you still are saying this is on Chris Sale, even though they're scoring one run for him. Like, that does feel like a stretch. You want to defend that further?
Okay, again, they were up 1-0 going into the, what was that, the sixth inning, where they gave up the run the two to fall behind. He had the lead. And all my point is this. Chris Sale's the ace. Oftentimes you're going to get matched up against a guy who's a good pitcher. That's reality. That's just the way it goes, pal. And if you are as good as everyone thinks you are, and he is, he's elite, then you got to win those games. I mean, if Justin Verlander blows a 1-0 lead against a good pitcher, I said the same thing. Like, this is who you are. You are at the front of the rotation because more often than not, you're going to get matched up with a good pitcher. If you get a lead, don't blow it. I said this about Price 2 years ago before Sale got here. I'll say it about Sale now.
We pay you to win the 1-0 game, not lose the one.
Exactly. Exactly.
I get that, kind of.
So, and I'm telling you that when they blew the lead the way they did, now look, the leadoff hit that Sale gave up in the sixth inning, and this isn't the one the caller's talking about, was a ground ball through the left side. Fine. Then Joe Mauer comes up, and on the first pitch, he drills him in the chest. And Mauer was squared around a bunt. So now you've got first and second with nobody out. So I look at that one and say, well, that's your fault. Like, don't go blaming the run support. They gave you a lead against a crap lineup.
Keith in Boston. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey, Maz and Mary. I just want to talk about Hanley. And I keep hearing you guys hint about some of these rumors you guys have been hearing as to why nobody's picked them up.
Yep.
Well, what are some of these rumors?
I ain't going to say it.
Thanks.
I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let someone else say it, and then we can discuss. I ain't going to be the one.
No, I'm not saying it either. I would just tell you that it was off-field stuff. Okay?
And so, some ugly slash bizarre stuff.
Yeah. So now look, you know, if it's...
Like, that goes beyond him complaining about plate appearances or something like that.
Right. Got nothing to do with baseball.
Yeah, well, so there you go. Like, again, I sort of throw that under the umbrella of off-field. But, yeah. But again, that could. But my definition could include getting into an argument with the hitting coach or the manager.
Look.
And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about non-baseball stuff.
He's on the street. He has a career postseason average of 380. Is that what it was, Maz?
381.
He's got a career 381 postseason average. He's available to any team for nothing in return, and you can pay him minimum money, which is like a couple hundred thousand. He's basically free and has a tremendous postseason track record, and no one's picked him up. I don't know if anyone's even talked to him. We did this story last week, and I haven't checked since. Has he even been linked to a team?
Not that I've seen.
Has a team even made a call? Has he even made a visit? Has he even done a workout? It's like 0.0 out there on Hanley Ramirez. And when you have a 380 career postseason batting average.
And you're right, it's 380, not 381.
And you're free, there's a reason. There's a reason no one's picking up the phone to call you. Because there's something on you that's just bad. Bad, bad. So I'm waiting to see for that to come out. Again, the Globe can't do it because the Red Sox cannot be seen to be throwing dirt on the players that they throw out. So even if Holler or Chauncey or someone wanted to stick his nose in there, if I'm the Globe, I'm not doing it because I've gotten too much criticism for the hatchet jobs of Larry Lucchino and others, and so we're not doing it. So someone else has got to find this out.
So the one thing I'll say is that if some of the rumors out there about him are true,
that's why we have Barstool. Like, would you get on this, Carabas? Like,
I've talked to him too. He's kind of actually heard the same things, but again,
have they written anything?
No, I don't think.
Well, come on.
Well, you know, this one gets into sort of real life issues.
No, I know. This is one you don't want to get wrong. But, anyway.
So I will just say that if the rumors out there about him are true, we should ultimately hear about it.
I would think. Ultimately.
And it would be big.
Here's George.
Massive.
George and
how's that for a tease?
Go ahead, George. What do you got?
Yeah, I got to defend Jackie Bradley. Oh. I mean, his defense outshines his poor offense.
Oh, really?
A lot of baseball, and with its launch angles and exit velocity is all. Everybody's hitting the ball in the air, and you need good outfield defense. I've watched a lot of games just lost because of poor outfield defense.
You do?
Guys can't catch the ball. They throw it to the wrong base. It's
or it rolls under their glove. Did you watch last night?
No, I was watching another game instead of the Red Sox.
Okay, well, you're lucky because it was a complete train wreck there in the eighth, including Jackie Bradley letting a gap single turns into a triple because Bradley misplays it in the gap. And I'm just pulling up his numbers right now. He's hitting 180, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Again, I haven't looked recently, but it was around there.
Okay, so I'll look it up so I'm not fumbling around. I can't believe that you would say that his defense outweighs the offense.
It's not even close.
Hitting 180, OPS of 576. Who plays every day or near every day with an OPS of 576?
Yeah, you know what? I'll look that up. That's a good question. I'd be willing to bet he's in the bottom five players in baseball in terms of offense. And here's another thing for you, okay, because I just looked it up. On FanGraphs, the modern metric, okay, I'm not giving you fielding percentage or any of that other bull crap. So here you go for all you geeks. Jackie Bradley right now among Major League center fielders in defensive runs saved or you know defensive rating based on plus minus, 11th out of 21 among center fielders. He's in the middle.
His fielding isn't even that good is what you're saying.
Yeah, so now look, my eyeballs would tell you, he's a terrific outfielder. Okay, he is. He's a really good outfielder. And the throw he made last night was ridiculous. But 11th out of 21, that's worth $1.82?
I don't care if he's one. I don't care if he's one out of 21.
Thank you.
When you're hitting 182 and your OPS is 576, I don't care. And I've heard Chauncey say this, you say this. Outfield defense.
Overrated.
Is nice, but it's a luxury. You want to tell me you have a shortstop hitting 182 and he's Omar Vizquel or Ozzie Smith? Fine. You want to tell me you have a catcher that hits like that? Okay. I'm sorry. There's not enough plays that a center fielder will make to impact the game to overcome a 182 batting average and a 576 OPS.
So I did just look it up. Of the 84 American League players who qualify for the batting title, right, play every day.
I'm sorry, you said how many?
84. Jackie Bradley ranks 82nd in OPS. The only two guys below him, Alcides Escobar of the Royals, who's a shortstop.
Shortstop, right.
Okay. And Chris Davis of the Orioles, who's a bum. So there you go. You've got a shortstop and a bum right below Jackie Bradley in OPS.
More on Bradley right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
2-2 pitch. Yeah. Line shot into left center field. That is down for a hit. Coming and that one gets through to go all the way to the fence. That's going to score a couple of runs. Here comes Maurer. He is in, diving into third, Escobar. And this one getting away here in the eighth inning.
Right underneath Jackie Bradley. I don't know why you could feel that coming, the way he was approaching that ball. So Jackie Bradley with a huge defensive mistake, never mind his offense, which is just a joke. 182. Batting average, OPS of 576. Where does that rank? Can you find where that ranks among the 84?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, OPS, it wasn't batting average?
No, OPS, 82nd out of 84.
Where does the batting average rank?
Okay, I'll get you that too.
I mean, that is just, he played 65 games. That's not what, they played 70 or 71, something like that? I mean, good Lord.
It's almost half a season now. I mean, it is. It's an absurdly low number. Now, look, there were some low batting averages in baseball this year because, again, the overall average in the game has gone down 10 points. But in batting average, he ranks 83 out of 83. And again, the only guy behind him is Chris Davis, who's a bum.
Basically the worst offensive player in the American League.
Yes.
Okay? Basically. Do you remember when FanGraphs, among others, told us we couldn't trade Jackie Bradley for Jose Abreu?
Right.
This is one that I want to revisit. Last year, there was rumors that Jose Abreu was available and the White Sox were interested in Jackie Bradley. And the geniuses at FanGraphs, the nerds, this is another example of nerds ruining sports, baseball in particular, come out with a column that, Bradley, headline, don't trade Jackie Bradley for Jose Abreu, according to FanGraphs. And all the local guys pick up on it. Remember when Pete Abe, that's what got me going because I was reading, not that I read FanGraphs, please. But
Pete Abrote, you know, whenever this was in the middle of the, I can't remember.
It was the 29th.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the offseason because Abreu was a candidate for them to get for the bat for their lineup.
Beginning of the offseason. So Pete Abrote at the time, to land Abreu, the Red Sox would likely have to trade off one of their major league assets. The White Sox have shown interest in Jackie Bradley Jr. previously, but while Abreu offers more power, Bradley is a more complete and arguably more valuable player.
I mean, that is so comical.
Given his defense and base running! But while Abreu offers more power, this is a guy, Bobby Abreu, who every single year he's been in the majors is 3,100. This year, he is hitting 280 and is on pace. He's slightly off his pace, about 25-95.
Oh.
Okay? But that's what he is every single year.
To get 25-95 right now, it would take Jackie Bradley 3 years.
While Abreu offers more power, Bradley is a more complete and arguably more valuable player given his defense and base running. I said, what are these guys smoking? And then you pointed me to this column on FanGraphs that they endorse this. And so all the nerdy baseball writers follow along. FanGraphs, don't trade Jackie Bradley for Jose Abreu. Again, this is last offseason, to start last offseason. He says the Red Sox should not, and I forgot the author's name. I didn't cut and paste it. The Red Sox should not trade Jackie Bradley for Jose Abreu straight up. Abreu is a nice player who would help the team, but turning Bradley into Abreu is a lateral move at best. And here we go. Over the last 3 years, Bradley and Abreu have produced roughly the equivalent WAR totals, despite Bradley getting 600 fewer plate appearances. Abreu is clearly a better hitter, but there's a huge gap in base running value.
Oh, God. Just as a quick aside.
Base running value.
How valuable can your base running be if you don't get on base?
Kiss the underside of my ass. Base running, they can't say base running. It's base running value.
Yeah.
There's a huge gap in base running value, so the offensive difference has only been about worth 10 runs per 600 plate appearances. How they come up with that, to me, is just another one. Kiss the underside of my tuchus.
Yeah, base running value, BRV plus.
The offensive difference has only been worth about 10 runs per 600 plate appearances, and Bradley's outstanding defense in center field is clearly worth more than Abreu's mediocre defense at first base. Bradley's WAR is not inflated by some huge UZR numbers either. In fact, the public perception is that Bradley is more valuable defensively than our fielding numbers suggest. Going forward, Bradley should continue to at least be as valuable as Abreu, if not more so. On and on and on and on. Steamer projects Bradley for a plus 3.2 WAR.
I'll give you a steamer.
That's what this is worth. A giant steamer dumped onto my computer screen. Steamer projects Bradley for a plus 3.2 WAR in 2018, while Abreu is forecast for a plus 2.8 WAR.
Ooh.
So unless you're dramatically overweighing offensive value, swapping the two, blah, 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 blah. One of the reasons baseball is dying is this. When I was a kid, what's he hitting? 290? Ooh, that's pretty good. 305? Ooh, that's great. He's above 300. I get it. I can wrap my head around it. How many homers is he on pace for? 40. Good year. 100 RBI? Yeah. Ooh, good. He's got a 3 ERA. Like, you know, just sort of basic, simple numbers that we can wrap our head around. Now, are kids supposed to follow what Steamer has for a projected WAR at 3.2?
No.
Like, does your kid ever say to you, Dad, what's Jackie Bradley's projected WAR next year? Is it 3.2 or is it better than Abreu's 2.8?
No.
Like, who watches the game like that?
Nobody. I mean, well, these knuckleheads do.
These nerds ruining sports, and particularly baseball, which they've already taken a steaming dump over, because and these nerds are actually employed. They have jobs. They're in front offices. There's some nerd out there with a pocket protector who would look you in the eye with a straight face and say that if you give up Jackie Bradley for Jose Abreu at this point, you're stupid. Based on what? Well, his WAR. What's his WAR? Well, 3.2 adjusted ballpark. What? Shut up, nerd! Get out of my face! But these are now people making decisions in Major League Baseball.
It's scary. Again, all you got to do is watch this guy play. He's an automatic out.
Watch him play.
And after they tied the game 2-2, he made the final out of the eighth inning. It was a 3-1 count. He hit a little dribbler to the right side.
Oh, my God.
It's like he even got a hitter's count and couldn't do damage. Like, I don't understand why they're continuing to put him out there. Now, look, they're winning games, so they could easily say, well, there's no reason to, but on a night like last night, he contributed to the loss. So did the manager, and so did Robbie Scott. Like, Joe Kelly, there was a lot of elements there, don't get me wrong. But the Bradley infatuation with fans in particular drives me bananas.
Oh, my God. Here's Oscar Natick just jumping on this. Go ahead, Oscar. What do you got?
That last at-bat from Jackie Bradley Jr. in the eighth inning was horrendous. That check, the two-check swing to begin the at-bat to show you what he is as a hitter. Don't care. He knows what's happening. It's just like Brock Holt gives you a better chance to win, and you need to win these games. You need to think about winning the division because there are five teams in the AL that can beat you. So you need that division. You need that series.
So it's important, too, but I have a whole other thought on the wild card, and that is you still should be able to win the damn wild card, especially because you're going to be, you know, 10 games clear of the next wild card team. You know you're going to be in the wild card, right? So don't you have time to rest your pitching and line up your rotation and get Sale in that game, and shouldn't you win that game? Now, if you want to tell me you're behind the eight ball going into the next series because Sale had just pitched in that wild card game, I'll say, yeah, you've just hurt yourself with the chance in that first round. But, you know, I've taught this as a life and death thing, too. You can't be in that wild card. Well, if you can line up your pitching, rest your bullpen and line up Sale, you should win that wild card game against Seattle.
Okay, but the greater point, look, they should win the game against Seattle if that's who it is. But the greater point is you're opening...
Seattle or Houston.
But you're opening yourself up to greater...
No, for sure.
Variables.
You don't want it. All I'm saying is you still should win it. But just Jackie Bradley, like the base running and defense, like the defense I get, but the base running, like... Is he an elite base runner?
Well, no. See, that's another thing. Like, I was just going to say, what base running are we talking about?
I mean, so this year he has 7 steals and has been caught once. So neat. Last year he had 8 steals and caught 3 times. That's not that great, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's not even close to great. Not even close.
I mean, so what's the big whoop about that?
There isn't. I mean, if you want to tell me he's a, you know, a functional base runner, sure. Can he go first to third and does he get thrown out a lot? I don't have any huge recollection of him being terrible like I do with Benintendi.
He feels to me like just another guy who runs a bases on one of the worst base running teams in the league.
Yeah, solid. He's a solid base runner. I wouldn't describe him as anything special. But again, how valuable can that be if he doesn't get on base? Like, you know, really, like I look at that and say, well, you know, the guy's a great fielder when you put him in center. Yeah, but he plays third. Like, what are you talking about?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sox trying to hang in. Swing and a miss, and that'll do it here tonight. This one got away late, didn't it? Minnesota scoring 4 times in the 8th inning.
All right, to the phones before we get to David Price here. Here's Gary in Tennessee on the Sox. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, I was calling about Tyler Thornburg first, but you guys are talking about Abreu and trading for Jackie Bradley. Now, had they made that trade, they probably wouldn't have got J.D. Martinez, don't you think? So I'd be better off with J.D. Martinez, not them defending Jackie Bradley.
Well, this is fine. That's really not the point of that diatribe. That diatribe is just pointed at people who think that Jackie Bradley's a more valuable all-around player than Jose Abreu. That's what that's
I agree with your criticism. I'm just bringing that point out about J.D. Martinez. I'd rather have him than Abreu. But anyhow, talking about Tyler Thornburg, we know we need an arm in the bullpen. Is he... another gutless bum on the wheel?
Is he? Thank you for the call, Gary. Is he going to land on your wheel of gutless bums, Murray?
Possibly, yeah.
Is he, Maz? What's taking so long?
He's in the minor leagues. He's been going back and forth on these rehab assignments, and the results down there have not been good.
But every time it sounds like he's going to be ready to come up, there's some setback with the injury.
Yeah, that's right. And so I'm telling you that combined right now in the minor leagues, his ERA is 5.5. Okay, his ERA is 5.5, and fine. So you don't want to, you know, you don't want to judge minor... relievers necessarily on ERA, right? So if he had 6 appearances and 5 were good ones, he's walked 8 guys in 11 and a third. It's not there right now. So this is another thing, like these guys with that thoracic outlet injury that he had, they don't just all of a sudden pop back and now they're great. You know, what's his name? Who's the guy with the Mets? Matt Harvey. He had it. He's been nothing even close to the same since.
He's on the Reds now.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, but the point being, like, you know, that's no gain. You can't bank on that guy.
Folks, I still have a giveaway for you, something for free that you'll like. Really good giveaway. So stick around for that. Here's Jeff in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Couple quick points. You know, Rusty Castillo in Pawtucket's lighting up. Second best center fielder in AAA right now. Bring him up. Send JBJ down. Let him get his feet, you know, better down there. And also, I was in Baltimore, you know, went to the series there when the Red Sox were there. Cora makes some terrible decisions with JBJ at the plate. You got first and second, nobody out. He's batting not even his weight, 182, and he doesn't bunt the guy. Move runners over. Why is Cora not bunting him, at least getting his momentum going? And, you know, I agree with him in center field. He's definitely a good center fielder. But, you know, we have first and second, nobody out, and he doesn't bunt the guy. And he's letting him swing or doesn't pinch hit for him.
So they're sticking with him. They're just supporting him and sticking with him to a fault. I mean, I don't remember that specific situation, but it's hard to stay in the lineup every day with a 182 batting
average. Oh, no, it's brutal. And again, in that situation in the eighth last night, you know, if they had had a deeper bench at the moment or Pedroia were healthy or whatever, you hit for him in that spot. You don't let him hit in a 2-2 game with a man on the eighth inning, but they let him bat. So, like, that's another one. I looked at that and said, do you really have to let this guy hit here? He sucks.
Tommy in Southbridge, what do you got for us?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what do you got?
I got a funny feeling that David Price's problem is he needs to up his antipsychotic medication. I really think it is. What was it, like 5 weeks ago is when he started that whole Fortnite crap and then missed a start. And then now Murray pushed him over the edge.
So here's the latest on David Price. Nothing. So look, he shuts himself down from a side session and then a Yankee game with the carpal tunnel. He stops playing video games and he's been lights out since. Hand feels fine and he's 6-0 or 7-0 since he put down the video game console, which is just insane as it is. But he's also now, over the last couple of weeks, pulled this martyr routine. What was the one a couple weeks ago? Well, how can I just, like, the exact context of it, Murray? What did he do again?
He's soft.
Well, I guess I'm the softest guy in baseball, yeah. So, you know, if I were hurt, he got hit with a line drive.
Right.
And they asked him about it after the game. He said, well, if I was hurt, I would have come out because I'm the softest guy in baseball. And went on
I'd rather blow out there than come out. So that's where we're at.
Exactly. He said,
it's not a joke. I'm soft.
I'm soft. I'm not coming out. I'd rather blow out my arm than come out and, you know, give you people the satisfaction, you know. But no, I'm soft. And like,
if it's cold, I can't pitch. You know, if my hand's tingling, I can't do my job.
So he pulled that crap 2 weeks ago. This is yesterday now in Minnesota. And this is just a standard meet with the media the day before a start. Simple like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, he was just the question that popped up was he was asked about the possibility of making the All-Star team.
Well, let me go through all three because it puts him in his full bitchiness. So I maybe he is discussing the All-Star game. Maybe it's a stand. He meets the media the day before the start. I don't know. But
No. Usually that's what it is. The guy before, you go talk to him the day before.
Okay. So there it is. He's talking to Johnny Miller here from WBZ. And just go through them. Here's number one, Jimmy.
David, could you talk about you and we surgeon glass 7-8 times out? You've been unhittable.
Just like we talked about after my last game. You know, it's the same question that was asked. Just better fastball from there. Just commanding the baseball better, you know, just making better pitches with runners in scoring position. That was, you know, a big problem for me in the times that I struggled this year. Just runners in scoring position, gave up, you know, 4 2-out runs in Oakland that day. You know, all the runs were with two outs. Same thing, my third outing against Tampa, you know, back at home. That was, you know, two run outs as well. So I've done a lot better with that.
How about your confidence level now?
When you asked me 5 days ago, you know, my confidence hasn't changed. You're 2-for-2 with the same questions right now. 2-for-2.
I mean, two softball questions. Your last 7 or 8, you've been unhittable. And how's your confidence level?
2-for-2.
No, he's being a dink.
on softball questions made to make him look good.
Yes, he's being a dink. And you know what I would tell Johnny Miller? Keep asking him.
And he does. He couldn't have cut Johnny Miller off quick enough, too. And what? Because it was like kind of the same question? Oh, you're a buzzkill, Johnny. Why are you going to keep asking the same dumb questions? I'm confident right now. I'm
two
cool.
Two for two.
I mean, I keep pissing him off. He pitches better. It feels to me like David Price wants to sort of coast at this stage, and like, you know, people actually expect him to perform, and so he's got to focus and pitch. Keep pissing him off.
Here's number two.
Does it feel like mid-June, considering where your arm is and your body? Like, is it
feels like October 20th right now.
Yeah? Why is that?
You just asked me how I felt, and I said October 20th. So
that's like in terms of being tired.
Yeah, man, I'm 32, turning. I'll be 33 in October, so it feels that way.
So I don't even get what he's driving at there.
Nothing. He's just pulling a random date out of the air is what he's doing.
Well, no, is he discussing his postseason struggles?
Well, so I took it as...
And I'll be 33 in October.
And again, I'm reading it again. I'm reading into it again. But I'm taking it as, no, man, it feels like October. You guys are wearing me out. We're in June. I already feel like it's the end of the year.
Maybe that's it. It's something.
So that's how I took it.
I mean, that's dinkish, but I think where I'm going is dinkish, too, in that he's just pulling a random date out of the air. Like, I'm just going to say a random date, first one that comes to my mind, kind of like when you spin a globe and you stop on a country with your finger, and that's where we decide to go on vacation. Spin, 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 Aruba.
This guy is, he's a child. He is, he's such a child. Heaven forbid he's in a place where they're actually expecting him to, you know, do his job.
But all these questions are, you've won, you've won your last seven or eight. You've been unhittable. Your confidence must be high. Your arm must be feeling good. And he's spitting all over these guys asking these...
pumping them up.
These pump-up questions.
You guys are trying to make me a hero, so next time you can just rip me down.
What a martyr. Seriously, what a martyr. Here's the All-Star.
How many pitchers do you think are capable of making the All-Star team?
Pitchers?
Yeah.
One. Sale. I ain't going. I'm not an All-Star.
Kimbrel?
Yeah, Craig. I mean, Craig's going to get his vote. I didn't vote for Craig because it's Craig Kimbrel. He's going to get his vote. So I voted for Joe and Barnes. I did vote for Craig. But Joe Barnes and Craig are the who I voted for. But Craig doesn't need votes. His name's going to get him in.
The way you're pitching, how do you... Don't you think the manager will select you?
I feel like if he did, it would just be to get me to throw an extra inning. You know, that would be a pretty pro move on his part. But I'll come up with something. If I am an all-star, that I won't have to pitch. You know, I play a lot of Fortnite, you know, the night before, so I'll be down.
He is. He's such a child.
You pitch so well. You know. Are you looking forward to the All-Star game? You think you're going to get picked? I ain't no All-Star. I'm not going as an All-Star. Well, what if the manager picks you? Well, I'll come up with something. I'll play Fortnite the night before. And
play
I'll
a
go
lot
down.
Of Fortnite, you know, the night before. So I'll be down.
Oh, I don't want to go. Martyr. Seriously, what a martyr.
I don't want to go. I just want to play Fortnite. I don't care about accolades or trophies or being an All-Star. I just want to play some Fortnite because you told me I couldn't, and that's some time I could play Fortnite. In fact, let's play right now. Let me get my headset and put it...
Shield pop. Got you, Benny. You're no match for my skills, bro. I got 43 kills with this hand cannon, bro. I'm lethal with this Desert Eagle. Ain't no stopping me when I got this bitch.
Oh, God, he's the worst.
No, he's just a martyr, though, because now, you know, he's not allowed to play Fortnite, but he can't let it go. Maybe not, aside from being a bitchy and a martyr, he's cranky because he can't play his video games. Like, when you take the kids' video games away, they're cranky.
I'm fiending.
And they pout, and they pout.
Withdrawal.
He's pouting.
Yeah, he's withdrawal. Pouting. No, it's like he stops caffeine.
Such a martyr.
I'm cramping up. I got the cold sweats.
I ain't no All-Star. I'm not going to the All-Star game. But what if the manager picks you? Well, then I'll shut down. Maybe I'll play Fortnite the night before because you won't let me. Like, good God, David.
I got to play a lot of Fortnite, you know, the night before, so I'll be down.
Oh, I got 47 kills with this Desert Eagle.
Oh, God. Seriously.
That's a great one, Murray.
Yeah, David Price.
Hold on. Let me jump back on. Oh, I get to play?
All right. Hell with the All-Star game. JBJ, why are you going to be such a bush camper, bro? Get out here and fight like a man. Kimbrel, I'm dead. You got to get over here and res me, bro, so I can get back in the action. Come on, get me back in. I need to be res, bro.
That's unbelievable. unbelievable.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.